from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do a little bit of Q&A. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions on Twitter. It's a bit of a weird time. I was kind of wondering if people's questions would center around this news that baseball is on lockdown, essentially. Spring training canceled for the time being. They may have to have another spring training before starting the regular season. And of course, the regular season has been delayed by 2 weeks, but realistically, I think we're looking at longer than that. So the plan is, as I said yesterday, to continue to do these shows daily. And we may end up getting a little bit creative in terms of and introducing new segments, and I think across the network, the Locked On Podcast Network, we may end up doing some things that are unified, especially in the baseball realm, where we're all doing kind of the same types of shows. So those ideas are in the works already, and the plan is to be here with you every single weekday, no matter how long this break in baseball goes on. So it's very unprecedented, but for now, I think doing a mailbag every week is definitely still something I want to do, so long as you guys continue to have questions. So you did today, and I'll just jump right into them. Ben says, here's a lighthearted one. What have been some of your favorite bad takes so far during the Farhan analytics era? Well, that's a tough one because there have been so many. It's hard to even, pretty much every single move that he's made, I'm not even convinced. I don't want to like be stirring conspiracy theories here, but I don't really think that the widespread opinion is as negative as what we see in like Twitter comments. So I tend to kind of try to just ignore those opinions, but I certainly have seen them over time. So something that stands out to me that I have talked so much about on this show was the reaction to having Connor Joe and Michael Reed in the opening day lineup in 2019, Farhan Zaidi's first, the first lineup in the Farhan Zaidi era included these two guys that no one had ever heard of, really, for the casual fan, certainly. So I've said this a bunch, but I guess if you're new to the show or if you're not, you'll hear it again here. But part of what irritated me so much about that negative reaction was, A, it was an overreaction to a short amount of playing time. Like if you look at how many times did those guys come to the plate, it was a combined like 20 plate appearances, which is just absolutely insignificant over the course of a 162 game season. And I think on Twitter, and I've never actually talked about it on this show, but I did some looking into other guys that Giants fans seemed to think that the team should have signed, like Adam Jones, for example, is another guy I've talked a lot about on this show. But if you look at how did Adam Jones start the season with Arizona, I think he had a good like first game, but then over his first 20 plate appearances, he may not have had much production at all. Or even if he did, you look at how did he end up on the season, and you look just basically like individual performance for a hitter in one game just does not make as much of a difference as people think. Because, first of all, the game's outcome is not ever solely responsible on the batter. Even if they hit like a two-run single to win the game in the bottom of the ninth, you don't give them the credit for the entire game. Like, the pitchers had to get you to that point. The defense had to get you to that point. The other hitters had to get you to that point where you were in position to win that game. So even if you do something that wins a game, you're not like affecting the win-loss total in an individual game. Like that's the whole point of wins above replacement, is that, you're not getting one WAR just for having a game-winning single. So that's kind of what the reaction was to, you know, Adam Jones being on the Diamondbacks and hitting the game. I think he had a big hit on opening day, maybe a couple of hits. And Giants fans were ready to freak out. And I know some radio KNBR hosts were doing the same thing. And the other thing that drove me crazy about that reaction was that those guys were really in there because there was a left-handed pitcher on the mound. And so if only the Padres had started the season with a couple of righties, we wouldn't have had that overreaction that we saw. So I'm actually going to go and give you another example of my favorite bad takes during the Farhan analytics era. And that would be the reaction at the trading deadline. I haven't really seen this discussed much, but to me it was a lose-lose no matter what they decided to do in terms of upsetting a portion of the fan base. And so I actually think Farhan Zaidi and the front office did as good of a job as they possibly could have done tiptoeing the line there at the trading deadline of selling and getting some future pieces, but also not giving up on what had become a legitimate run at the postseason. No, they were not in a great position, but they very much were in the conversation right around the trading deadline. So a lot of the reaction post-deadline has been about how it was a huge mistake not to trade Bumgarner and Smith, and they really missed an opportunity. I've seen that written a lot by media. People in the media are saying that still to this day. And number one, I think Bumgarner would have gotten a lot less than people think. To me, Smith may have been the real prize. And it has been reported that Farhan Zaidi was really listening on Smith all the way to the deadline and never got quite what he wanted. And it's fascinating to think about what he wanted if he was able to get Mauricio Dubon for like Drew Pomeranz, essentially. I know Ray Black was also in that deal, but would have been a better prospect than Dubon, certainly, for Will Smith. But the thing is, it's really easy in retrospect to look back on that trading deadline once the season plays out and they don't actually fulfill those odds and they don't make the postseason. It's very easy to look back and say, oh, they should have traded Bumgarner and Smith. But at the time, they had those odds and the clubhouse wanted a chance to win. It was Bruce Bochy's final season as Giants manager. He wanted a chance to win. And so it's a lose-lose in the sense that if they did trade Bumgarner and Smith, and presumably the team wouldn't have done well in the last couple of months without those guys, as they still didn't do well even with those guys, people would be burying Farhan Zaidi still for not giving that team a chance when they had a chance. So it's impossible to judge it in retrospect, I think. And I said at the time, and I'll say it again, I thought that he did a phenomenal job by... They traded a lot of players away. They got Melanson's contract off the books and acquired Tristan Beck in that deal. They got Mauricio Dubon for like Drew Pomeranz, basically. They dealt Sam Dyson, who was like a disaster in Minnesota. And they got Jalen Davis along with several other prospects. They acquired Scooter Jeanette for basically nothing. And he did have some upside. It didn't come to fruition, but he definitely represented a possible upgrade at second base. Although it didn't pan out, nothing is ever guaranteed in baseball. And then they were able to extend qualifying offers to Smith and Bumgarner and get draft pick compensation in return. Whenever the draft ends up happening, that may be delayed as well, as we're seeing, you know, college baseball kind of get shut down here in the wake of this pandemic. But anyway, that was a very long-winded answer to that question. But those are like kind of the two that stand out. I could do a whole episode or a whole week's worth of episodes about bad takes during the Farhan era. In fact, I'll just throw one more in there. When we were having these stories about Zaidi meeting with season ticket holders over this winter, some of the questions that were reportedly posed by fans during these meet and greets were so cringeworthy, it was hard to even read what these fans were saying. Like this one person at FanFest, I believe, asked Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler if they even liked baseball like she did, and she had the opinion that they were destroying the team that she loved, which doesn't make any sense at all. It's not like they were good the last 3 years and then they destroyed them. This team was in really bad shape and they're trying to build them back up. And then somebody else in one of these Q&As said, "You're taking away the heart of this team." Like I'm sure some of you remember those headlines. Someone basically accused them of just sucking the soul out of this team. But I will reiterate, where was their soul in 2017? Like, that was an unbearable season. There was nothing good really coming out of that 2017 season. The second half of 2016 was awful. 2018 was very bad as well in terms of like bleak season and bleak long-term outlook. So then people are saying that Farhan Zaidi has come in and sucked the life out of this team. Well, that's just not at all an accurate representation. And maybe their argument is that, okay, Kevin Pillar, they non-tendered Kevin Pillar. Well, you know who acquired Kevin Pillar? It was Farhan Zaidi. So maybe have a little faith that the guy who brought in the player that you loved may be able to continue to bring in players that you love, especially when he's saying this player is not quite good enough to be on this roster. It's not the right fit. So you should realistically expect better things than the player you loved. So just kind of people's backwards analysis of some of these decisions that get made are very head-scratching and certainly got us riled up on this show. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll actually get to some more questions. I'll try to squeeze in a few questions there in the second half. So that's all coming up next. But first, all right, here in the second half of the show, we'll continue to answer your questions from Twitter. Alan asks, what are the chances Cueto, Shark, or Belt get traded if one or more of them come out of the gate strong? I think a few playoff contenders would want a decent pitcher. Someone like Jeff Samardzija, I think there's a strong likelihood that he ends up getting traded this season because, most notably, because he is in the last year of his contract. So he is a rental, makes no sense really for the Giants to hold on to him if they're not contending at the trade deadline, whenever that may be. He does have a partial no trade list. I can't remember off the top of my head. He can either block trades to 10 teams that he has previously selected, or there's a list of teams that he will accept a trade to, and it's only a 10-team list, so I'll have to verify that. But they're not going to extend Samardzija the qualifying offer after the season. He's not going to be worth that figure, which is in the high teens in terms of a one-year, nearly like $19 million offer. Cueto, I think they're just going to wait and see, can he reestablish some value? Because obviously he's coming off the Tommy John surgery, just came back barely towards the end of 2019. But I think teams are going to want to see what he has left in the tank. And if he pitches well and the Giants are not contending, then yeah, he's a definite trade candidate. But if he struggles, I think the Giants have every reason to just hold on to him and wait for him to reestablish some value and hope that he can eventually get hot and then they can try to deal him after that. In terms of Belt, he's just, yeah, another guy who at some point could be a possibility to be dealt. I think that's just true of basically any player they have right now who performs well. Belt only has a couple years left on his deal, and so does Cueto, but they're both paid kind of high salaries relative to maybe their value at this point, and so the Giants may need to pay down some of those contracts in order to get better offers. But I would say that Samardzija, very strong chance of being traded. Cueto and Belt, a little more uncertain, but definitely a real possibility as well. Cueto at some point, yes, but it all depends on how he comes back from the Tommy John. Amir says, if the season ends up being shortened, I'm of the belief that it helps the Giants because of the higher chance that a team with inferior talent can attain a good record, due to the shorter sample size, of course. Would you agree? And I would say yes. I mean, that's a definite realistic fact that in smaller samples, you can have more variation from expectations. Like if we played a 500-game season, it would be impossible for an inferior team to like overperform for 500 games. I don't want to say impossible, but the longer the season is, the less likely it is that you're going to have kind of fluky overperformance. So if you're a team like the Giants who isn't expected to be a strong contender in 2020, then a shortened season could help their chances. Like, let's just say the season was a month long, which it's not going to be, but I'm just saying in an extreme example, if it was just a month, then, you know, if it was July, the Giants would be the number one seed in all of baseball. They had the best month of July of any team in the major leagues. And so that's a perfect illustration of what you're saying, that small samples in baseball can lead to some weird outcomes. And really, I'll give another example. From June through the end of the season, two-thirds of the season, the Giants were 55-51. So if the season was only around 100 games, then last year, if it had started late, I mean, you can't play that game. I mean, who knows what would have been different if the season was shorter. But if the season started on June 1st and it went exactly as it actually went, they would have been four games over 500. So yeah, it's possible that a shorter season actually does help the Giants. Diego says, still thinking about streaming some Out of the Park baseball. It's a computer game. Baseball video games couldn't have launched at a better time. Yeah, so that coincides also with the launch of MLB The Show 2020. So that is definitely something that we are strongly considering here. We're going to be, I don't want to say like reaching for content. I could talk forever about the Giants and Giants baseball, but to keep it as entertaining as possible, there are definitely some things we might have to do with basically the sports world shutting down. I think there's going to be real opportunity here for us to produce some entertaining content that may not be as readily available elsewhere. And so playing MLB The Show, possibly getting better at streaming. I've tried to do that a couple times and I have like no experience. I don't have a microphone that works with the PlayStation. I don't even have a microphone that works on the computer. The microphone I use here uses an XLR cable, so it doesn't actually plug into the computer. So I'd have to figure all that out. I'm sure I could do it. But yeah, like stuff like that, especially if this ends up going long here, is a definite possibility. I don't want to like commit right now to anything, but I think that would be a lot of fun. I mean, the idea is simple. Like I talk about baseball all the time, so why not talk about baseball and provide some actual baseball for people to watch, even if it's virtual baseball? Because, I mean, that is a growing industry. Esports is definitely a popular thing. I don't see any reason why a lot of us who enjoy watching baseball may not equally as much, but may enjoy watching some virtual baseball or some virtual like front office maneuvering like you can get in OOTP, which is Out of the Park Baseball. So yeah, look out for that. We'll definitely be looking into that as the days and weeks roll on. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again on Monday, and until then, we'll see you next time.